the theophanies of Christ. And we're getting into the Christmas season, and I love the Christmas season. I can tell you somebody else who likes the Christmas season here at Mission Point, and her name is Judy Pittenger. Amen. Can you all give Judy a round of applause for helping put up the Christmas? Thank you. I believe she is Mrs. Claus, and I am thankful for her. She comes up with beautiful designs, and God bless her for wanting to do that. Can I tell you that's a ministry in itself, and it ministers to me. Before Bethlehem, and before the stars moved over a stable, and before Mary had conceived of the Holy Spirit, and before she gave birth as a virgin girl, Jesus was throughout the entire Old Testament, amen? Throughout the entire Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, Christ came in what we theologically will call theophany, or theophanies. Over 60 plus times, Christ appeared in the Old Testament to human beings like us, right? In different forms. This is what's pretty interesting about it. Biblical theophany is a tangible, visible manifestation of God to humans. Now, I'm going to be real with you this morning. If Christ came down today and stood in front of us, some of us would be scared. Right? Because he'd probably be in a glorified state. I don't know exactly what it would be like, but I can tell you from what we read, he didn't look like he was after he was born in a stable prior to that. Often, his theophanies are accompanied with an audible voice or with thunder. These are various forms of theophany that happened throughout the Old Testament, such as a burning bush, or a cloud, a fire, or he even took human form. Theophanies are used to communicate or demonstrate God's will and God's power to us. Amen? I'm so glad that he loves us this morning. Stand for God's reading this morning. We're going to read this one verse together, and then we got a lot more, but I'll have you sit through the rest of that. Genesis 1:26. Let's go. Amen. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Praise the Lord for that. He made you in his image this morning. "After our likeness, and let us have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." Let us pray this morning. Thank you, God, for creating us. God, thank you for creating each single person in here. And thank you, God, for speaking to us. God, Lord, you're still trying to speak to us in 2025, and sometimes your servants don't want to hear you. God, speak to us this morning, as only you can. Lord, I get stubborn sometimes and don't want to listen either. But God, Lord, speak to us today. And we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's all sit down this morning. This verse demonstrates that before time and earth began, God was a triune God. When I say a triune God, that means this is our doctrine on the Godhead, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all communicate. They all live. They all dwell as what? One. But they have separate parts, but they are all together. You cannot have God the Father without God the Son. And you cannot have God the Son without the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for that today, amen? And it works through your life. But before Christ came, he came in these theophanies. And it's very interesting how he came down, how God came down to earth. We first will see God coming down in the garden. Let's look at Genesis. If you got your Bibles there with you this morning, I'm going to be reading a lot of the King James Version this morning. Genesis 3, verse 18 through 24. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. I've got my dyslexia is all crazy this morning. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 3. Verses 8 through 14. and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Just think about that for a moment. Let's meditate on that for a moment. Think about that. You hear the voice of the Lord walking through the garden. Go back in your memory bank when you were a child. Did you ever have a good grandma or grandpa who walked in the garden? And think about them walking in the garden. I like that thought. I had a grandpa who kept a garden, and I loved when grandpa went down that garden. It wasn't very big. I thought it was huge. But he was walking in the garden. God came down, and he walked in the garden. And after Adam and his wife hid themselves, the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" I don't know what that voice sounded like. So I'm not even going to try to imitate it this morning. I don't know if it was booming or if it was super loud. But he said, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest eat not." Okay, he told him not to, right? But he did. And the man said, the woman, isn't that how it always is? We do that. They were doing it back then. And the man said, "The woman whom gavest it with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." What happened now? He admitted they both sinned. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above the cattle, and above every beast on the field, and up on thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat for all the days of thy life." Yuck. All right? Think about that for a moment. That's kind of a yuck moment. In this example, we find the theophany of God is speaking, present, and audible with Adam and Eve. He had to come in at this point, because they had sinned. They had ate of something he said, don't touch, don't eat. A lot of times you will see this presented maybe as an apple. We don't know what the fruit was, amen? I don't know. Sometimes you'll see it in cartoons as an apple. We have no clue what it is. But they ate of it, and immediately they knew they had sinned. Few things we find out here from this. We also find out that God cursed the serpent when he came in theophany. When he cursed that serpent, it was no longer to do whatever it was doing. It was now up on its belly. All right? Also sound like it could communicate. Not at this point. To the first two individuals, God had to demonstrate his power and that he was the ultimate authority. I want you to know today, throughout Scripture and all of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, you will find something in the Old Testament that will line up with the New Testament. Know this, God is always demonstrating his power and his authority. His power and his authority. Will you say, "Well, he is a good and gracious God"? Yes, he is a good and gracious God, but he is also a fair and he is a very just God. He's a very fair and a very just God. Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15:22. 15:22. It's not a very big verse, but it has a lot of power in this verse. It says, "For as in Adam all die." Okay, look around the room. Take a look this morning. I know you don't want to look. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. I don't know the time. You can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's a 10 out of 10. We're all going to die. But it says, "Even so in Christ shall we be made alive." Amen? Because of Adam's fall, because of what Adam and Eve did, it brought a punishment. And that punishment was called death. We should have had eternal life on earth. Amen? We should have been happy living in the garden like a resort. It didn't happen. Because of that, they now have to go to work, to get jobs, to do things. They had to make their own clothes. They had to find shelter because of one moment. One moment. And God had to come in theophany and down to earth and talk to them. I want you to know that even in today's society, God still speaks. He may not speak in this audible voice, but he does speak. People say, well, I haven't heard from God. Can I tell you, we're out talking to him. You got to talk to him first before he'll listen. And then you got to listen before he will respond. Go back through any prophet, any of our leaders, any of the New Testament. He asked the people to pray and then to listen. To pray and then to listen. Because of this punishment, there came sin. And mankind saw themselves naked. They had to wear clothes. And now God's originally designed us to live forever. Not anymore. In the garden, Christ came to punish sin. And that is what he did. Let's turn over in our Bibles this morning. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 1 through 5. You're like, you're going to skip around on us. Yeah, we're going to go to another theophany here. I love this. I love this story in Sunday school. I loved a flannel graph back in the day. We had a flannel graph that was forever old. Okay, and they would have this of the burning bush. This was my favorite one. I love this one. And we had a lady who taught our class, our Sunday school class, and when she would speak from the burning bush, it was crazy, all right? Now, I can also, the only thing I can ever think of when I think of a burning bush in my mind comes to this, is Lazarus the talking tree. Amen? Does anybody remember going to Lazarus? And then in the kids' department, they had the talking tree. And it read books or stories to you. I don't remember it a whole lot, but I loved it as a kid. And it would talk to you. Out of this tree, it spoke to Moses. Now, let's look at this here, starting in verse 1. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. I think that'd be scary. I don't know about you, but I think it'd be scary. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And this is the fun part. The bush was not consumed. Amen. We're in a desert, everyone. All right? They are in a desert. There's a random bush, and it's dry. What usually happens when fire hits something like that? Burns up. It would not burn up. That would catch my attention. Would it you? I'm sorry, but I had to think about this when going through this message this week. If there was just some random burning bush, that'd catch my attention. And especially if it was not harmed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now think about that. Take a second here. You got a talking tree or a talking bush. Could you imagine what that would be like? I don't know. I would sit and wonder. But let's go to verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet. For this place whereon thou standest is holy ground. It's holy ground. God had to get his attention. There's a whole lot more to this. God had to get his attention. I want you to know this morning, God will do whatever he has to do. To do what? Get your attention. That's how he had to come down in that form. He was wondering, and he had to look to a side and see that. And that bush said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. I couldn't imagine what that feel like. Amen. I think that would be one of the most exciting things. He just took off his shoes. He knew that day that was holy ground. Amen. I want to tell you something today. You know, when you walk on this church property, and I've said this before, friends, you're on holy ground here. Treat it like holy ground. Amen. Treat our church like holy ground. This is holy ground. Any church you walk into where the presence of God is, where there are born again, believing people, it's what? Holy ground. That is a reverent place. It should not be used for the world. That is a reverent place. Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. I love those words. I don't know why I like that so much. I think it's pretty awesome that God also in this had a sense of humor. He had to get his attention. When Christ appeared in Theophany in the Old Testament, it's also known as pre-incarnate Christ. Now, let's take a moment and look at that here. This is a theological term that is used in a lot of theologies, theological seminaries, a lot of pastors, different things like that. It will not be found in the Bible, all right? The word, but this is the term. It's called pre-incarnate Christ. Pre-incarnate Christ means that Jesus is an eternal God that has not taken on human form. It's not taken on human form or became a human or man yet. That's Jesus Christ. Once Jesus Christ came down and was born of a virgin, once the Holy Spirit came down there and she conceived, at that moment, Christ became incarnate. Christ incarnate refers to Christ is fully a divine God and fully human. Amen? Amen. Fully divine. I thank God for an incarnate Christ. Amen? I thank God that he would send his son into the world to die for Matt Parsons, to die for Tom Craft. Amen? You get to retire soon. Amen? Thank God he died for you so you could have a wonderful life, you could work and live. Thank God for you. He came down so that I could have a family. Amen? I could lead my little boys to Jesus Christ. Christian, he came for you. Amen? Christian's my buddy. He came for him. Why? Because he could have everlasting life. That's why Christ came. He came so some people in here are just starting out on their Christian journey. He came so what was doesn't ever have to be again. What the life was can now be changed. But we still have another one that's really dear and near to my heart. And we're going to take a look at the three Hebrew children. Amen? Oh, I love this story. I love this story. I think this is pretty fun. Christ is the fourth man and the fire. I'm going to tell you this morning, you might go through fires of life and they may not be physical flames. You might go through marriage things. Have you bowed down and prayed to God lately and said, God, take care of my marriage? You may say, well, man, my finances are wrecked. I want to ask you, have you brought that fourth man who should be the third man in your marriage? Amen. Have you brought him into your marriage? Have we as a church body brought him into our church lately? I need to ask us that today. Do you know he is the only one, the perpetuation for our sin who can take care of what? Everything. We have to bring him into everything. Everything. It's Jesus can take care of it all. Christ was the fourth man in the fire. Let's look at Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 through 25. Verses 19 through 25. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Wow, that's crazy, amen? He was full of fury. And the form of his visage, I cannot say that word, okay, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about this for a moment. How he acted, how he talked, he didn't like them. We have to remember that these three men would not do something. They wouldn't bow down. Amen? They wouldn't bow down and worship him. They wouldn't bow down to their idols because they worship the true God. I'm going to tell you, friends, today, young people, if you're under 21 years old in here, I'd like you to listen to me. Don't bow just down to anybody in this world. Amen. You're going to go off to college. Some of you, you will see things. They will teach you some things that are very unbiblical. Don't bow down to the world. Don't lose your morals off of a psychology class. Amen? Don't forget who you are at the end of the day. I was a very young Christian man going into my very first psychology class, and he said, by the end of this, I want you to know that I don't believe in God, and I don't want you to believe in it either. And can I tell you, that was 22 years ago. It's worse today. It's worse today. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the fiery furnace. All right, that's pretty scary, right? These three good men, they're doing everything right. They were put into captivity. They were taken. But they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't burn. And it goes on to this, and then these men were bound with their coats and with their hosen and with their hats and their other garments, and they were cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You need to think this. They took them up to the flames, and the men who presented them to the fire, they died. They died. I don't think they probably thought when they were going to take the others up there that they were going to die as well. But I'm going to tell you, this is very biblical for today. Don't get messed up in junk. I have said this for many years, and it says that wages of sin are what? Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's in James. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they fell down and they bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king of, was astonished and rose in haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, and they said unto him, King, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see a fourth man loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt and no form. Of the fourth man is like unto the Son of God. Why is this so important in Theophany 4, that Christ came to be the fourth man in the fire? He came to rescue them. Today, I want you to know, Jesus Christ came to rescue you, to set you free, to give you everlasting life. Amen. He came so that you might have life and life more abundantly. He will be your fourth man in the fire. He will be in the fire. He will go before you. I could just imagine them in the fire. Could you imagine them in the fire? And could you imagine being Nebuchadnezzar up there just hot as all get out? Why will they not burn? Because they had God on their side. God was leading them already. He was already directing them. They were already doing everything right. They had already worshiped the God of the true God. And God showed up. Look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18. I look at the second part of 18 and going into 19. It says this: He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty with them that were bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In churches all over America, in Ohio, and in Mansfield, and we could put a needle on a map, Pinhead, and just put mission point there. I don't know where you came from this morning, what you walked out of over the weekend. I don't know if you had a wonderful Thanksgiving or if you were brokenhearted. But I want you to know this morning, there's hope for you. You say, I don't really want to be in church this morning. I get it. But can I tell you, there's hope for you too. And maybe you might feel captive of your mind, and you don't know how you're ever going to get out of that. I want to tell you today that there is deliverance in Jesus. And that he can set you free. Your mind may not be fully changed, but he's going to give you a peace that lasts and goes beyond all understanding. It's amazing he heals people. Even into today's society and today's church culture, we may not have all these huge healings, but he does still heal. I want you to know that any time that a person does not know Jesus comes to know him and accept him as Jesus Christ as their Lord, that is the number one greatest healing of them all. He heals the heart. He heals their life. He changes their mind. He does something that nobody else can do. Why? It's because it's God. Christ's main mission on earth and before he was born and after he was born, pre-incarnate, incarnate, was to save and to set people free. Was to save and to set people free. Leading up to Christ's appearance in human flesh in a manger in Bethlehem, believe it or not, God kind of sat quiet for 400 years. These are called the silent years in theology. Why was God silent? Well, if you really go back and look, God really wasn't silent. But people were not listening. Amen? People weren't listening. They were consumed with their own disputes. We had the Persian Empire. The Persian Empire was huge and conglomerate. And many different nations were gathered underneath them. You had leaders and leaders fighting leaders. And after Nehemiah restoring the wall, you hear a silence for 400 years. That's hard to believe. Even in today's culture, God sitting silent for 400 years. I want you to be honest with you today. Don't let God be silent for the rest of your life in your life. Don't let it be silent in your life for the rest of your life. Why? You have something to do with that. The Bible plainly teaches us if we are to have nations healed, if we are to have anything, that we are to pray. Amen? He may not be speaking all the time to you, but he's listening. He's listening. He's listening. I love this part. And then we go from 400 years, a silence. And then Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 through 31, Christ goes from pre-incarnate to incarnate. Amen? And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from the from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel of the Lord came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." Amen. This is Gabriel, an angel, a messenger, saying, "You're a highly favored woman, Mary. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at what he was saying and cast into the mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary." Has God ever had to speak to you? You're like, "Well, you don't speak audible." I know. Just go with me for a moment here. Has he ever had to talk to you and say, "Fear not"? Now, if he has, this is for you this morning. And if he hasn't, this is also for you this morning. Fear not, Mary. There's 365 fear nots in the Bible. Why is that four? There's one for each day. Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and thou, his name shall be called Jesus. The very first time that his name, his earthly name, God the Son's earthly name was announced was by Gabriel on earth. I think that's pretty cool. Amen? That's pretty awesome. Announced as Jesus. Can you guys say his name with me this morning? Jesus. Man, what a beautiful name that is. That's such a beautiful name. Nations have crumbled under the name of Jesus. Nations have been built up with the name of Jesus. People use Jesus in a terrible word. But Jesus came to set you free today. Jesus, there is no one like him. There will never be anybody else like him because he's God. 100% God, 100% man in human form. As we go throughout the Christmas season here, you're going to see a lot more of what's happening with Christ. Friend, today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know you can know him. You can know him as Savior. The one who came in a manger, he died on a cross, he rose up from the grave. He didn't stay in the grave, amen? Some people still got him in the grave. I want you to know he still ain't in the grave. He got up out of that grave on that third appointed day. Amen? Amen? He's a resurrected king. And he came to set you free. This is the best thing about Christmas. The best thing about the holidays. You say, "Man, I don't know if I can go on another holiday living how I'm doing." Good. You're at the right place today. There's hope for you. There's hope for you. And his name's Jesus. Let's all stand this morning. Justin, can I have you? Let's pray here. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you this morning for life. God, we thank you, Lord, that you came and have always had a plan, the plan of salvation for us. Lord, we're nothing without you. We know we're not. History proves that we're nothing without you. We're just human. We're finite. But God, Lord, I thank you this morning on this last day of November, November 30th, 2025, God, that you're faithful. God, I don't know what tomorrow brings. And I don't know if people walk out this door will ever walk back in this door. Because you don't give us that reassurance. We don't know that part of life because of Adam. Death comes to us all. But at this very moment, we're all still here. God, Lord, if someone doesn't know you today, I pray, Lord, that they don't leave. I pray, Lord, that they don't take their problems home with them today, that they'd leave them at Calvary. God, we thank you for the overwhelming, wonderful blessings of life that you give. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.